I thought tonight would be a good time for me to bring a little message to us and us discuss about faith in a storm. With what has been going on and what they anticipate to go on, I think it's very apropos. But let me tell you, the storms that you and I deal with in life, and I'm talking about the storms of life within our heart, within our families, within our minds, those are the most dangerous storms and the most destructive storms by far than any storm that nature can throw our way. Those kind of storms are contrived by Satan himself. And when he contrives those storms, he contrives them in our heart. He contrives them in our mind. And he makes us get our mind in through contriving all of these storms. It's where you question yourself. How many Christians I've heard, well, you know, it just really bothered me because my actions anymore, I don't even know whether I'm Christian or not, Brother Larry. I just don't understand me. And when those type of storms are placed within our heart and within our mind, they are extremely destructive. What does it do? It pulls you away from sharing Christ because you don't feel worthy to share Christ. It pulls you away from your own family because nobody wants to be around you because you're a grouch. And because, you know, if they say something, you bite their head off. That's the storm of life. And God says, I want you to have faith in a storm. Faith is simply believing before you see. Believing before you see. Again, I keep warning folks. Make sure that the faith that you speak of is true faith, and that faith that you speak of is not just hope wanting proof. That's not faith. You know, all I want to do, you know, I have faith in you, Lord, just show me. That's not faith. That you have, that's doubt. That's the doubt looking for something, whatever. And normally that kind of doubt that you've already, or Satan has placed in your mind, what you think the outcome should be. And God isn't even involved with it. So we have to really be careful. Faith is simply believing before you see. Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 4. Now, the reason I have that, I've got it in parts here. No, I don't. That's verse 1. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That's the NIV version of that. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Now, I've never seen heaven, but I'm going there. I have never met Jesus personally, physically, to look him in the face, but I will. I don't understand the love of God that is so great that he loves us despite our actions and all. See, God says, I love you. And God says, I also know that there's nothing but pure evil in the heart of man continually. And he loved us anyway. One of these days, you and I will get to look that love as Christians straight in the face. We get to see love. The love that we talk about today is real, and it is physical for us also. The love of God is God in action in our heart. Now, you cannot please God without believing God is God. You cannot please God without believing God is God, and that he rewards those who seek him. Okay. Not only do I believe that God is who he says he is, I also believe that Jesus is who he says he is. And the Holy Spirit who convicted you and me, he is who he says he is within us. How do you and I know that we worship the real God? You cannot explain that to the world, because you know that you're worshiping the God of creation because he indwells us. We're saturated with him, and we know him from a personal touch from within. So therefore, we have the faith that God is going to take care of our faith. See, I don't have faith in me. I have faith in the God who is in me. I have faith in the Son who promised me that whoever calls on my name, I'll live and dwell with him forever. I believe that. I believe it with all my heart. Listen to Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Why should I want the reward? Why in the world? And Christians, please focus on this within your heart. Many Christians say that it seems so selfish to me that I want the rewards. Well, God says that you cannot come to him unless you believe that he is God and that you believe in the rewards that he's going to give you. The reason you want the rewards is, the scripture tells us in Revelation, that scripture lets us know, Jesus himself lets us know, that all the rewards, everything that we've done for Christ, it goes in the crown, and then we take that crown at that time and we lay it at the feet of Jesus. If we give to Jesus and acknowledge him through eternity that these rewards are his, that he's given because of his love for us, that's why the scripture tells us to expect a reward. Christian, it is not being selfish. It is being godly. The reward you're going to lay at the feet of Jesus one day. Isn't that great? So think of it. You and I have eternal life given to us. It wasn't free to Jesus. It was a gift from Jesus to us. And in our faith that he gave us, in that faith, he says, I want you to believe. Oh, and by the way, Larry, I'm giving you eternity. I'm giving you perfection in everything that's going on. One day, you'll never be sick again. You'll never feel the aches and pains of the human existence. Well, did you all hear the question asked the other day? Somebody on whether it's news or whatever says, do you know, will you know people in heaven and know them as who they are? You know, no. Well, everybody's bouncing that around and everything. I want you to remember one scripture. Jesus told his disciples that I will not partake of this supper again until we come together in my Father's kingdom. Each one of them did not Peter, James, and John recognize Moses and Elijah at the Mount of Transfiguration? And they had been dead, you know, after you've been dead 700 years and they can recognize you, you must have been pretty good looking when you left. Think of that. So that, do I understand that? Nope. Do I believe it? Yep. And then they say, well, will you be husband and wife? And no, I know you won't be husband and wife because there's no such thing as that in heaven. But you know what there is better? Perfect love. Through Christ, we will know each other, we will be with one another, we will still be able to serve God in some kind of a capacity, whatever it is, and there will be no jealousy, there will be no heartache, no pain, and you're going to get to serve the Lord. Oh, right, well, we don't have trouble with that here, but I want you to know, there will be no church business meetings in heaven. They'll be White Castles, I'm sure. I already knew the Marines were guarding the streets, but I don't know what else could you ask for. Marines guarding everything and a White Castle on every corner. Oh, I'll get the email now. Our faith will increase by reading and hearing the Word of God. You ready? Romans 10:17. So then, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Simply stated, which is a powerful statement that Paul is talking about here, that when the Word of God is proclaimed and the individual hears the Word, then the faith is going to come through the hearing of the Word. You got that? Now remember what Jesus told, when he's teaching and all of this, and you'll see it several times in the New Testament. He who hath ears, let him hear. And many, you know, then what they want to get off on that one. Well, you see, that's proof that a lot of them didn't have ears back in those days. Ears grew later. You know some of the foolishness that you get on there, and I think. It'd be better if they didn't have tongues and people like that wouldn't be making those statements. But what was he talking about? He's talking about spiritual ears. Jesus was telling his disciples, you know what I'm saying, because you hear me spiritually. But I said these things to you knowing that they don't know what I'm talking about. Is it not the same today in our society? You and I hear the voice of Christ. We hear his voice speaking to us. We hear him and know him because we hear him with our spiritual ears. Jesus himself gives us directions on how to survive the storms of life through faith. Luke 11:9. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Now, folks, that's not too hard. And yet people try to make it so difficult. You know, God just doesn't hear me anymore. And I'm looking at the scripture, and I think, did you ask him for anything? I ain't going to bother him. I bother him about everything. I mean, you ought to heard Faye when she was laughing about, she had heard somebody was that had been talking in one of our groups that they talk to God and pray that they get a parking spot when they go to Louisville to the mall. And she was driving around up there and she said, I just tried it. And I pulled right on up and there come the car backing out and I pulled right on in. She said, I said, thank you, God. Yeah, you better be in prayer when you go through that parking lot. Absolutely. So the storms of life, when they're raging inside of us, that's the time you ask, seek, and knock. Now, we're commanded by God's word to do that. He doesn't say, now, if you feel like doing this, this is the way you'll get an answer. You know, God says, you want my love? I sent him to you. You want eternal life? It's through my love I sent to you. Every time you read scripture, you see the scripture pointing to Jesus. And when you see the scripture pointing to Jesus by God the Father, very foolish individuals are the only ones that don't pay attention to it. Those are the ones that do not have ears. Those spiritual ears. Listen. Let's look at a story that is common with most everyone's stormy trials. Listen to this. There was a father whose son was stricken with seizures. He asked Jesus' disciples to heal his son, but they were unable to do so. Now you got to remember here, Jesus hadn't got there yet. So the disciples had been asked, this guy, you're really hurting because his son's been that way since birth. And, you know, he said, y'all heal him. And the disciples, they just couldn't understand. If you read the background out, you'll see they're talking with each other and all of this. I don't know. Why ain't this working? It's not of this that needs to work. Listen to this. When Jesus arrived on the scene, he rebuked everyone standing around. They were state or city workers. Standing around. Oh, gosh. Anyway, you got the picture there, right? Okay, one got the shovel all red stuff. I'll have my water cut off time I get home. I guarantee it. Okay, and he rebuked everyone standing around. Why? For their lack of faith. You see, the power was not in the disciples. The power was in the faith that Jesus would do it. The power has always been in who Jesus is, not who the individual is. Too many individual preachers and all get too cocky. My mother was said too big for their own britches. It's the idea that to come to the point and say, I can do it because I'm so-and-so. No, you can't. And if you've been doing it, then I guarantee you it's wrong. What you did is not going to work. Now listen to Mark 9, verse 19. He answered and said to them, this is after they'd asked him, Lord, we told your disciples, but they couldn't do anything. Now listen, he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Jesus a little bit aggravated. Now, it is not sin to be aggravated. Now, you ought to be careful with something, because you hear people say, well, you know, that's not a very Christian act to where you say you hate something. Well, I do. I hate sin. I hate what God says he hates. You hate what God hates, and you make sure that when you speak, that and you say you're speaking for God, that you're letting him do the speaking instead of yourself. But he said, how long shall I bear with you? Then you know what he said? Bring him to me. Folks, it is when Jesus said, bring him to me. That is the key for every one of us as Christians. That's what the gospel is all about. That's the salvation message. We bring them to Jesus. We reach out with whatever it takes and bring them to Jesus. It is Jesus that does the saving, not us, not the church, not the preacher, not the Sunday school teacher. It is Jesus. Mark 9, verses 21 through 27. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? This is Jesus talking to the kid father. And he said, from childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. And often he has thrown him. Satan. You got it? Throwing him, what he's talking about. What I would suppose on that is the idea of falling into the fire that's built around and all that they're standing, and into the water to try to drown him or whatever. Okay. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Yeah. See, this ought to tell us something too. Again, this guy, the dad, he didn't know about faith. And he says, if you can. Every time a person comes to Christ in a pure heart, he's not looking at how much scripture you know or anything else. He's looking at the pure heart. Are you really hurting? Then tell me. You know, that's all you ever ask for is the truth. Somebody tell the truth. And then he says, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. You see, the fear of us is, my fear is not in what I believe. The pain is not in what I believe. The pain is what I don't believe or don't know to believe. See, there's a lot of things in life I don't know how to believe or which way to believe in it. That's why we must always give our heart to Christ, give the situation to Christ, and quit picking it back up at the altar and going back doing the same dumb thing with it. Yeah. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, this was a time for ministry. You got to catch this. The time for ministry is when God, you know, God has called you. And then all of a sudden, here comes the opportunity. And that opportunity is there. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, it was their time. Is that right, Brother Harry? He rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit. Oh, let me get this straight too. The dumb is not of ignorance. It means they can't speak. They're deaf and can't talk, okay? You know, I always thought that when they said they used to call the kids, remember when they made fun of them and those, that burned me up even then. Oh, that's old dummy. He can't speak. We didn't know any better. We didn't know any better. And I'm so thankful that God has given me the kind of ministry he's called me to in my heart. Because it's just, you know, you look at yourself and you think, gosh, in those days I was one of those people doing that to people. But it's out of pure ignorance. I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Only God can do that, folks. Then the spirit cried out. Oh, listen, there's no evil spirit, there is no power of Satan at all that can hide in the heart of a human being, that when God says you come out of there, that spirit knows God's voice. Okay, you remember, I can't remember the guy's name. He was, some of you Bible scholars remind me of this. He was a soothsayer at this time, and he saw what Peter and Paul and them were doing, and he wanted to cast out the demons. So he goes up to this person that is demon possessed. Remember what his name was. He goes up to him and he is commanding in the name of the Christ or the God that Peter and Paul speak of. That's the way he did it. Come out. Well, the voice comes from this guy and says, Peter I know, Paul I know, but who are you? And the scripture says that the spirits beat him so bad he ran away naked. Any of y'all remember that story? That was a powerful, he overspoke. But when you have a demon that says, Peter I know, Paul I know, but who are you? You're in trouble. Okay, so don't try doing that on your own. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Woo! Jesus is good at that resurrection stuff, isn't he? When we go to Jesus in the midst of a storm, our first step of faith will enable us to witness God's rescuing grace. Did you all notice I gave you a study page tonight? Matthew 14, 22 through 32. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat. Now, let me start this first with you on it, because in the midst of a storm is what I'm focusing on, faith in a storm. Verse 22 here. Immediately, Jesus commanded his disciples to get into the boat. I like the made part, because that's what it you know why? The disciples knew there was a storm out there. They said, Lord, why don't we hang around here? The storm, can't you picture these guys doing that? So we have the scripture, he made them get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitude away. There were so many of them listening, and Jesus was going to dismiss them, said, you all go to the other side. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Peter, James, and John wasn't with him on this one. Sometimes, folks, you need to be by yourself. I know you got the friends and all of this. You just need to be by yourself with God and pour your heart out. That's what Jesus was doing. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Well, Jesus knew it was going to be. Pay attention to your life. I don't want to do this, God. Get in the boat. You can't walk on water until you get out of the boat. And you can't do what God has told you to do until you get in the boat and start out heading straight for the storm. That's exactly what they did. It's heading for the storm. Can't you picture them, though, from the human standpoint saying, you know, I love the Lord, but I think he missed this one. And the wind was so violent with them, they knew they were getting ready to sink. Well, now on the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. You would be too, right? Saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. You see somebody walking on water in the middle of a storm, it's okay for you to cry out for fear or for you to stand there and shake. Okay. But immediately Jesus spoke to them. Now read it, catch it. In the middle of the storm of your life, when you cry out, I don't know what I'm doing here, Lord. I'm in the middle of a storm. Immediately, Jesus spoke to them. All Jesus had wanted, didn't he tell us to knock? Didn't he tell us to seek? Hadn't he told us, this is how that I can bring peace to your heart? Immediately, Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. Reminder song, be happy. What was that song? Yeah. Can't you imagine? If that had been popular in that day, Jesus would have sung it. That would have been into him. Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. Anytime Jesus is there, don't sweat it, folks. Now, how am I going to know if he's there? Did you cry out to him? Did you tell him you can't handle it? Or have you decided, that's okay, God, I don't want to bother you with this? You bother him with everything that comes to your mind, folks. Because you say it's a bother to him, it's faith. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. You see why he loves Peter so much? And Peter might have been a roughneck, and boy was he ever, but he loved the Lord. He loved the Lord. And so he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, any other time, folks, next time somebody tells you there was only one person walked on water, that was Jesus, and they crucified him. You straighten them out right there. No, that wasn't the only time. Peter walked on water. Didn't walk on water very long, but he walked on water. But when he saw, remember, this is the storm of your life. When he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. How many times have you had to look what we're dealing with now on the IRS? When they give you a call, automatically the hair on the back of your neck, if you got any at all, will stand up, right? I mean, that always makes you nervous because what do you think of? Gestapo? Yeah, I know. Jesse's supposed to remind me about, you're on there. Okay. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And when? Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him. You got it? Jesus was holding on to Peter. Peter wasn't holding on to Jesus. Peter was drowning. And Jesus was holding on to Peter. And Jesus said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Now you think of this. What if Jesus had told them, okay, boys, I'm going to go over here and dismiss the crowd. You all vote on whether or not you're going to get in the boat and go across. And I'll see you. What ain't voting on that? Go across. Just like Christians will talk so often, well, you know, I don't know. I'm going to pray about whether or not I ought to witness. And that just aggravates the fire out of me. What are you praying about? If you're a Christian, you're supposed to witness. You don't have to go over, Lord, should I witness through my faith that Jesus is Lord? What do you expect him to say? No. Good gracious. Folks, when you know the answer and you know that you representing Christ and you've read his word, you know what you ought to be doing, you do not have to pray about, Lord, should I do that? Now, Lord, if I don't witness to them and that person dies, they've been cursing Jesus. I know they don't know Christ. They're going to hell. So, Lord, you tell me whether I ought to. That's when God's got that two before, ready to hit you upside the head. Because, listen, folks, we have a calling. Let's be about our Father's business.